Foreign policy chief said Tuesday the U.S. green light to train Ukrainian pilots to fly F-16s has created a momentum that will inevitably bring the fighter jets to the Ukrainian battlefield. Associated Press correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Josep Borrell says it's always the same thing. At the beginning, everybody is reluctant, giving the example of the long debate and initial opposition to the dispatch of advanced Leopard battle tanks to Ukraine. He goes on, and at the end, with the Leopards, with the F-16s, the decision comes to provide this military support because it's absolutely needed. He added that training for Ukrainian pilots had already begun in Poland and some other countries, though authorities in Warsaw could not immediately confirm the news. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Russian officials say their troops and security forces quashed an alleged cross-border raid from Ukraine into southern Russia and claim to have killed more than 70 attackers in a battle that lasted about 24 hours. Moscow blamed the raid that began Monday on Ukrainian military saboteurs. Kyiv portrayed it as an uprising against the Kremlin by Russian partisans. The head of a London-based Mayak intelligence consultancy, Mark Galati, told the Russian news agency, in a sense, both sides are right. The groups involved are likely disgruntled Russians from up and down the political spectrum that oppose Vladimir Putin's government.
But at the same time, we have to realize that these are not independent forces. Although the claim is, you know, Kyiv is saying this is nothing to do with us, these are just Russian volunteers, they are controlled by Ukrainian military intelligence. They rely on the Ukrainians for weapons and support and such like. So in some ways, they are accepting that they are part of the Ukrainian war effort simply because they believe that a Russian defeat in Ukraine hastens the downfall of the regime in Moscow.
This is VOA News. The White House and congressional Republicans signaled productive but not definitive results as they work to avert a potential federal default. Associated Press correspondent Jennifer King reports.
President Biden called the debt limit session productive, saying default is not really on the table. While there's no agreement on basic issues, the contours of a budget deal seem within reach that might unlock a separate vote to lift the $31 trillion debt ceiling. Negotiators are looking for a compromise over a 2024 budget year cap, with Republicans asking for a 10-year 1% cap on spending growth. McCarthy says they're going to find a baseline that will be less than what we spent this year. According to a person familiar with the talks, the White House offered to hold spending flat at current numbers and a more limited cap until 2025. Jennifer King, Washington.
Residents from Sudan's capital, Khartoum, and other northern areas Tuesday report scattered fighting between warring parties in spite of the 7-day ceasefire brokered by the United States and Saudi Arabia that began in the country late Monday. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has warned Sudan's rival generals to abide by this latest ceasefire or face possible sanctions. As the ceasefire began, U.N. Special Envoy for Sudan, Volker Perthes, speaking to reporters in New York, urged the country's warring generals to honor the 7-day ceasefire to allow desperately needed humanitarian aid to get to those in need. He said both sides know what's at stake.
I do think that both parties over the last 5 weeks have learned that they will not achieve an easy military victory. That even if they were to achieve a victory over the other side after a long struggle, that could be at the expense of losing the country, and that there is no alternative.
The conflict between the Sudanese army and the Rapid Support Forces paramilitary group began April 15th. Satellite imagery released by Colorado State University's Cooperative Institute for Research in the Atmosphere shows Super Typhoon Mawar approaching Guam. The remote U.S. island territory in the South Pacific is bracing for a possible direct hit from the storm, which could unleash deadly winds, torrential rains, and extreme flooding. In a video message to Guam residents, Governor Lou Leon Guerrero said those at greatest risk need to take shelter immediately.
My greatest concern and worry is your safety. All residents in low-lying, flood-prone, and coastal areas are ordered to evacuate and seek shelter in private residences or designated government shelters in higher elevation.
The National Weather Service has said the typhoon could be the biggest hit the island in 2 decades, and if Guam doesn't take a direct hit, the typhoon will get very close. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.
It's VOA. One. Yeah.